Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series, anime, and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I'm joined, as always, by my lovely co-host, Austin. Hello, Austin.
Your lovely, charming co-host.
Extravagant, illustrious. Some other adjectives I can't think of.
I was referencing the Japanese Team Rocket motto.
Oh, well, that went right over my head.
They're lovely, charming villains.
Oh, lovely and charming. You are lovely and charming, so it tracks.
I'm neither of those things.
Just accept the compliment. God damn.
This is like that guy who tried to be my sugar daddy.
Oh my God. Yeah, tell me everything. Spill the tea.
There's nothing to say. I was on Scruff and some dude who was like, the pictures rather depicted a like 400 pound muscle man.
Catfish.
Yeah, and they were like, hey, are you looking for a sugar daddy? And I said, not someone who's a catfish, no. And he said, I'm for real. And I said, no, you're not.
And then that was the end of that.
Yeah, that was the end of that. Then the bot stopped replying to me after that point.
Did you try to do a reverse image search?
No, I don't care enough.
Okay. Yeah, that is too much effort, honestly. I'm sitting here thinking,
way
like,
too much effort.
Ooh, how can we be detectives and like figure this guy out? And then Austin's like, next, I don't have time.
No, I mean, it's a catfish. What do you want me to say?
What if like, he wasn't, clearly. Though? What if he wasn't and that was your one ticket to, like, the millionaire luxurious lifestyle?
You know what I don't want is a sugar daddy because okay. I'm not about that life. That's okay if you are, listeners, but that's not for me.
Sorry, I was picturing, like, living on a luxurious yacht like Chloe and Greg do in The White Lotus.
I knew you were going to say Chloe and Greg. We're anyway. Watching the penultimate episode of that tonight.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. But I'm also sad because I'm not ready for it to be over.
We can do something else on Sundays. What I like to do on Sundays is like structure events, like recurring events, so I don't get the Sunday scaries.
That's such a smart idea.
I like to keep my Sundays busy. They're my busy days.
So what is the new thing? Like right now in the zeitgeist is the White Lotus, but what's the new thing? Like what can we do next?
I don't know. People love Severance, but I don't have Apple Plus.
Now, people at work talk about it all the time, and I'm like, I'm sorry.
How do all these people have Apple? I guess they all have iPhones.
They pay for it.
Oh my God, how do these people have money?
Roommates?
Oh my God, they were roommates.
Maybe we just need to make, like, a burner email and get, like, a free trial or something.
Well, that's what I'm going to do when Monarch Season 2 comes out.
Monarch?
Okay, that's, like, one of the lesser-known Apple shows.
I don't know anything.
Well, actually, it's not, because there's a million Apple shows, and people don't talk about them. But Monarch is the Godzilla show.
Oh.
Which I thought the first season was pretty good.
Okay, so that's what we need to do. We need to wait till it gets closer and more episodes are out so we can just binge it all at once in our free trial period.
I don't think they've even started season two.
Well, then we got to be strategic and we have to wait. I'm looking up Apple TV shows because I have zero idea what is actually on here.
Severance is a big one. I know that.
Silo? I've heard of that.
What is that?
I've heard of it. I didn't say I knew what it was.
Oh.
Okay, it says the overview according to the Google AI. In a ruined and toxic future, a community exists in a giant underground silo that plunges hundreds of stories deep.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a show about like life on the farm or something. I didn't realize it was going to be that.
That kind of sounds interesting. I have not heard of any of these other things.
All right, let's list them.
Oh, I have heard For All Mankind. I heard that was good.
I've never heard of that.
Okay, have you heard of any of these? Shrinking... Oh, The Morning Show. My mom was watching that with Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, I saw a couple episodes of that, but there were so many seasons, I didn't have time to watch the whole thing.
Ted Lasso is a big one.
Yeah, I know that was popular.
The Buccaneers? I have no idea. Bad Sisters. Show? Invasion. What? Bad Monkey? I have no idea.
Bad Monkey?
Looks like a Vince Vaughn thing, so do with that what you will. Sugar. Foundation. I don't know.
Monarch was not on that list.
It wasn't. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. Oh, wait. No, here it is. I lied. Here it is. It's down pretty far. Monarch, Legacy of Monsters. Okay.
I thought it was okay.
Apple TV is not ever in my mind when I think of like streaming services. Of course, you have like Netflix and Hulu and HBO or whatever, but I never think of Apple TV. Sorry, Apple. Not sorry, you multi-billion dollar corporation, you. Aside from that, we need to find a show that we can watch to keep our minds busy from the horrors of real life.
There's always Pokemon.
There is always Pokemon.
We're behind on Horizons.
I know. We do have to catch up with Horizons. But surely you've been doing other stuff. Anything else in your week?
Nah, not really. I've been spending a lot of money lately. That's what I've been doing.
Who isn't spending a lot of money?
I know. It's impossible not to.
I know. I watched a movie last night with Josh that he had never seen, that I have seen a million times.
Oh?
If y'all remember Fern Gully, The Last Rainforest.
Oh my god! I've not thought of Fern Gully, The Last Rainforest, since 1999?
It came out in 92.
Oh my god, wow.
I know, I saw it on Hulu, we were scrolling through, we were gonna watch Archer or something, but then that popped up and I was like, stop everything, we have to watch this. So I forced Josh to watch Fern Gully.
Is it any good?
It's a kid's movie from 1992.
Well, that's my answer.
I remember it being a lot more dramatic as a child.
Oh, Samantha Mathis was in it.
Yeah. It's about saving nature and not cutting shit down for human pleasure or whatever. I like the fact that Tim Curry is the bad guy. It was a decent movie.
But what about Fern Gully 2?
The direct-to-video
yeah.
sequel? I don't think
Oh, man, this is some rough animation.
Honestly, I can't remember if I ever saw the sequel to Fern Gully.
I never did.
I don't think so, actually. That might have been a little bit after my time.
No, it was 1998.
Never mind then.
That was definitely your time.
My parents didn't get me that movie, I guess.
God, I don't remember Fern Gully at all. Anyway.
Anyway, so we watched that.
I forced you to watch 2 episodes of American Dad.
The second episode was funny.
The episodes we watched, the first one was Gold Top Nuts.
I didn't get it.
Alex didn't get it. She didn't get the surrealism of it.
No.
The second one we watched was a more recent episode. The Clearview Motel episode.
I liked that one.
I like that one a lot, actually. That's one of my favorites.
Like, ever?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
But I'm a big fan of motel horror.
Is that like Twin Peaks or something?
I mean, I guess there's a hotel in Twin Peaks. I'm thinking more like The Shining, Psycho. I don't know. It's a classic setting.
It was good. I liked that episode. I am not an American Dad fan. Austin loves American Dad. I don't know. If it's on, I guess I'll watch it. I guess it's all I can say.
I want to show you Rabbit Ears.
Is that an episode?
But you may not like it. That's an episode.
Okay. I think the fact that it's like 19 seasons puts me off of it. It seems overwhelming.
Well, most of it's bad.
I do like Seth MacFarlane.
We've been over this so many times.
I think you need to watch The Orville. I really do.
I'll watch it eventually.
You say that. You'll never watch it.
There's so much shit going on.
Oh, God. I love how you say, Austin, what's been happening in your life? Nothing. And then you're like, oh, there's so much shit going on.
Well, there's so much shit that's like not interesting for me to talk about. Sure. Like my current shows I'm watching on TV are White Lotus, The Great North.
What?
It's a Bob's Burgers contemporary, like its sister show.
Okay, I never heard of that.
God, 911.
Oh, the radioactive lava scorpions.
No, that was 911 Lone Star, which got canceled.
Sorry.
However, I am very reluctantly watching Dr. Odyssey, which is another spinoff.
You've lost me. I don't know.
Okay, it's Love Boat MD.
Okay, well, Jesus.
God, I'm watching The Conners.
Your list of shows that you're
so eclectic. Weird. I know.
What about Righteous Gemstones? I started that.
I'll watch it when it's done.
It's almost done.
I know. I'll watch it soon then. I'll watch it this summer.
I'm like obsessed with Walton Goggins now, watching White Lotus. So I'm like, gotta watch it. What else has been going on? Anything interesting other than that?
Nope. We do have some listener feedback if we want to move to that. We got a comment from Pokemon Megastar on our Revolutionary Girl Utena episode.
Yay! Oh, happy April Fools, by the way.
The comment reads, I forgot this weekend was close to April 1st. Yeah, the weather sucks.
Oh.
I've been so sick off and on. The only time I've seen or heard anything about this series is a reference to it in Digimon Adventure 02, and in this podcast before during one of your week talks. It's pretty neat overall from what you talked about on this very real Utena podcast. Very much overshadowing that Sailor Moon podcast and the Digimon one and the Yu-Gi-Oh one. Thanks for the fun episode. Have a great day talking about team. I'm surprised by this, because I thought that was one of our lesser April Fool's episodes.
Utena?
Yeah. I think the Digimon one and the Yu-Gi-Oh! Ones are really fun. Well, for me, at least.
Okay, for the Yu-Gi-Oh! One, we had Jacob.
We had a fun dynamic on that one.
Our once upon a time third member of Out of the Drying Pan.
On the Yu-Gi-Oh! One, I was giving Jacob a lot of shit, and I was like, what the hell is this? Explain this to me. Tell me everything. And then on the Digimon one, we reversed.
Exactly.
And he was doing that to me.
Plus, Digimon is, of course, like, the Pokemon equivalent. Like
rival, yeah.
Aside from that, there's been no other real contenders in the monster, pocket monster scene. I mean, like, what
Yo-Kai Watch.
We could have done that. Maybe look forward to that.
Maybe a few years from now when that's more contemporary to what we're watching.
Sure.
I've never seen it, so.
I've not either.
Because it wasn't a hit here.
Uh-uh.
And it's done in Japan. Like, they don't do it anymore.
I remember when it was, like, they were talking about it and the games
they tried to
stuff,
make it a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We're coming over here, but it kind of flopped, so nobody really talked about it.
I think we didn't even get all those games. I could be wrong.
I couldn't tell you.
Me either.
I have zero knowledge of it, honestly.
Anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed it, Pokemon Megastar. I do think it was better than our Sailor Moon episode. Sorry to the Sailor Moon episode. I think that was our weakest one.
I mean, there is a Sailor Moon connection, though.
Is there?
Austin!
Oh, you mean between Utena and Sailor
Moon?
Yes. Oh, I thought you meant between Pokemon and Sailor Moon. And I'm like, where?
Well, I'm sure if you looked hard enough, there's a connection. It's like the 6 degrees of separation between Pokemon and whatever else.
Oh, they totally referenced Utena and Pokemon, by the way.
Then there's a connection, right?
Yeah, in the Erica episode.
Really?
When you see Erica, like, they have, you know, the weird borders that show up in Utena?
Oh, the little, like, attention border thing?
Yeah, they did that with Erica, but with glooms instead of roses.
Oh, that is so funny. I'm glad you pointed that out.
That occurred to me after the fact. And they did reference it in Digimon Adventure 02, that as well.
Okay.
With Mimi.
Speaking of 6 degrees of separation, how can we tie Kevin Bacon back to Pokemon?
I'm sure we... Well, does he know Ryan Reynolds?
I don't know. Maybe. For anybody who's out of the loop on that, literally there's a joke, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever, where Kevin Bacon is literally related to, like, everything in the planet.
Yeah, they were in a movie together called RIPD, Rest in Peace Department.
So then he does have a Pokemon connection through Detective Pikachu.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you for the feedback, Pokemon Megastar. We always appreciate it. Anything else, Austin, from our listener feedback corner? Or
nope. Not that I'm aware of.
That means we can jump into the episodes, unless you have anything further to report.
Episode time. Episode time. Who's so ready for a Chronicles episode time?
Wow. The land of make-believe.
What?
I don't know. Kazoo Kid's been in my head for a long time.
Does he say that? I don't remember that.
Yeah, remember? He's like, wow, the land of make-believe. Okay, please.
I remember there was like an eldritch god.
Yeah, there
involved
was.
In that. What was his name? The spirit of pretend or whatever.
The spirit of, yeah, or something.
The pretend spirit.
Whatever the fuck. Oh my god.
And the Kazoo Kid taught us a ritual to summon it.
Yep.
Okay, anyway.
Anyway. The episodes this week are, oh my gosh, we have a Chronicles episode, Showdown at the Oak Corral. I keep wanting to call that the OK Corral, but it's not how it's said. And then A Tale with a Twist.
What are you thinking so far of this Chronicles being so frequent setup?
I'm curious how much longer it goes for.
It kind of comes and goes, but we're definitely in the thick of it, obviously.
My thing is, I wouldn't know when they would happen without you telling me this is where we insert the Chronicles episode. I thought it was interesting because we had the Johto title card, even though they reference Hoenn.
We did have the Johto title card. I think we always have the Johto title card for these episodes.
Which is funny.
I would consider this kind of the send-off for the Johto Pokemon.
Yeah.
Because we didn't really say goodbye to them, so I'm kind of considering this to be their farewell episode.
I appreciate that to some extent, although I do like the fact that we get an insight into what other people are doing and not just Ash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't always have to focus on Ash.
It makes the world feel bigger.
It does, which I appreciate.
All right, let's flip the coin.
Who's doing what this week?
I almost call it the Choo-Choo coin, but it's not.
It's a Dragonite coin.
You are doing the 30-second summary.
Okay, good God.
Good God, y'all.
Don't expect a great, stellar 30-second summary here. There's a lot going on.
3, 2, 1, go.
Team Rocket is here, but not our Team Rocket. Butch and Cassidy, and they're sneaking around the Oak Lab trying to steal Pokemon because at least they have an idea of how to do that. Oak is trying to write a haiku. Tracy's there. Oh my gosh. They sneak in, Butch and Cassidy, and steal all the Pokemon. Ash's Pokemon go on a quest to figure out who stole them and stop them. Delia is here, and she battles, which is, like, really cool, actually. They get the Pokemon back. There's a Nidoking who assaults Cassidy, and they blast off again.
This episode is not exactly the most thrilling episode in the world, but I thought it was pretty cool.
I'll beg to differ.
Oh, Alex thought this was a very exciting episode.
Just for the 3 seconds at the end, which I adore.
Okay. That was a four kidsism, by the way.
I know.
It was very obviously a dub line.
And I loved it so much. Watching the entire episode all the way through just for that very quick 3 seconds at the end is absolutely worth it.
Oh, boy. Also, this episode establishes Butch and Cassidy are going to be our recurring villains of the Chronicles episodes.
Is that what it does?
That's what it does.
Oh, do they come back?
Oh, Alex, we're going to see so much of Butch and Cassidy.
Oh, my God. Okay, I wasn't expecting that at all.
Oh, you don't remember Chronicles at all, do you?
Shit, no. I don't remember the main episodes at all.
That's true.
Give me a break. This was like 20 years ago.
Butch and Cassidy's arrival is announced via a black helicopter with a big red R on it, which nobody notices except for Noctowl.
Okay, I have a lot of questions right off the bat. One, is there not like an air traffic control? Like, are they not saying, okay, this airspace over Pallet Town, like you need to be cleared for landing or some shit?
How does that work? Do any helicopter pilots listen? Because I want to know how that functions. Because I feel like a lot of rich people live around here who have private helicopters, and they always take the same routes all the time.
I feel like there has to be air traffic control no matter what. I mean, they're coming in. They have to be cleared for landing, don't they?
I don't know how it works, though. I just don't know.
Well, clearly, there's not anything of the sort.
Lest we forget, Team Rocket are villains, and they can do whatever they want.
Sure.
And no one notices, because no one in Pallet Town hears the helicopter go overhead. And it lands in the Oak Laboratory, the sprawling expanse. I wonder how much acreage the Oak Lab is, actually.
How much does property cost?
Professor Oak is like a millionaire. We always forget that.
He's a celebrity.
So they are here, and they're going to steal all of the Pokemon of the Oak Lab, which I have some questions about, but we'll get to it. Meanwhile, Professor Oak is asking Tracy, do you know what a word that rhymes with Tauros other than morose? And that is going to be our running gag for the episode.
Does anything?
Carbos apparently rhymes with Tauros.
Tauros, morose. I don't know, actually.
Alex is not a poet, and she does not know it.
I don't see you thinking of any words that rhyme with Tauros.
I'm not a poet. I've never claimed to be.
Okay.
Professor Oak shouldn't be a poet either, given that he's not very good at it. But whatever. Tracy has no time for this bullshit, because he has to go and hand out the Pokemon food. Bayleaf is helping him out, because she's the most mature. She and Tracy are trying out new food to specifically Ash's Johto team. It's the starters in Noctowl. So I guess they're like the test group.
So if Tracy poisons them and they die, fuck Ash, I guess.
Cassidy and Butch are giving us some exposition as they walk through the grounds. And Cassidy explicitly says, the only two people here are Professor Oak and Tracy. Now, I wanted to note that because in our early days, we had a lot of discussion about who helps Professor Oak. And I was like, I think it's just Professor Oak. And y'all were like, no. He definitely has like a whole team. And I'm like, y'all, I think it's just Professor Oak until Tracy comes on the scene.
I guess that's a good point that you're making. Oak being a millionaire and running an entire ranch, though, like, why can't he hire some assistants?
Because Tracy will do it for free.
You do not become a multimillionaire by spending your money.
Like, we know Tracy has free room and board, presumably. How much is his salary for this?
You think he gets paid?
Is he getting paid in experience? Is that what it is?
I think this is an unpaid internship.
I think Tracy's going to be living at the Oak Laboratory for the rest of his life. Actually, for the rest of Oak's life. And then when Oak dies, he's going to have nowhere to go because he has nothing on his resume.
Yeah, except for his unpaid internship.
Ugh, Tracy.
What was his goal? Like, his goal is just to be, like, a sketch artist, right?
I think he, like, observed Pokemon and then drew sketches of them, which is, I would say, more artistic than scientific.
Yeah, I mean, he's not... Is he putting together, like, scientific journals, like, and doing, like, anatomical drawings, because then maybe that's, you can argue that.
I mean, we need to find Dr. Quackenpoker, and maybe Tracy can go join him instead. I think that'd be a better fit.
Yeah, I think he would get more scientific knowledge out of Dr. Quackenpoker than Oak. Oak doesn't even have time for Tracy, as we see.
He has to write a poem.
Demonstrated right now. Yeah, he's like, fuck off, Tracy, I'm writing a poem.
So, okay, we are getting plenty of visitors today at the Oak Lab, the first of whom is the Magikarp salesman.
What the fuck?
Who apparently is suffering from some sort of disease because his voice is completely off.
Why does he sound like that? It doesn't sound like
I don't know. I don't know
at all.
Very odd cameo.
Did you think? Okay, my original thought was Butch and Cassidy paid this guy or are using him as a distraction, but no. Apparently, he's just there coincidentally. Like,
I'm worried about the Magikarp salesman. He's gone from like having stands at fairs and annual festivals and stuff to going door to door in Pallet Town. And trying to sell Magikarps. That's pretty sad.
I know. His business is obviously suffering. When was the last time we saw him, like, in the anime?
Recently. He did the Victory Bell switch.
Right. Oh, with his, like, little traveling suitcase, like, the
magic trade device.
Yeah, the magic trade device.
And we thought he was pretty on the up and up in that one.
Yeah, he actually did it right. And it wasn't, like, a scam. He didn't get anything out of it, per se. He just was like, okay, here's your fucking Weeping Bell. And then he left.
But he's back to his scheming ways, and it was really badass, I thought, because Tracy's like, get the fuck out of here. You don't sell a Pokemon. That's immoral. And Professor Oak stomps up, and he's like, I'm going to give that guy a piece of my mind. And I was like, yeah, throw down.
I wonder what they think about, like, the Celadon Game Corner.
I thought that, too.
Because you can buy Pokemon after gambling there.
Was the implication that Team Rocket ran that?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're the ones selling Pokemon and the Porygons and stuff.
Well, okay, wait, let's think about that actually for a second. They had their underground operation underneath the Celadon Game Corner, but were the actual staff, were those like Team Rocket people, or was it like just a front?
Because it continues to operate after you beat Team Rocket.
Yeah, so maybe not?
I would love an episode where Professor Oak and Tracy go and confront the Celadon Game Corner people, but sadly not.
I mean, look, if Officer Jenny ain't shutting that shit down, then...
No, Officer Jenny is, like, in on the take on that one.
Oh, that's true. We know she's bought and paid for. I wanted to see if Bulbapedia had some information on the Game Corner. Okay, according to the starting blurb here, it says, the Celadon Game Corner is located in the southeastern part of Celadon City. In the games in which it is run by Team Rocket, it is known as the Rocket Game Corner. So I guess it is run by them?
But in Heart Gold and Soul Silver, it's not run by Team Rocket. Or excuse me, Gold and Silver.
In the Generation 1 games, the Game Corner is known as the Rocket Game Corner and is run by Team Rocket. It has the slogan, the playground for grown-ups. Okay, in Gold... in Gold,
I don't like that at all.
In Gold, Silver, Crystal, Heart Gold, and Soul Silver, it is known as the Celadon Game Corner and is no longer run by Team Rocket.
That's what I thought.
The slogan changes to a fun place for everyone.
We gotta do that Voltorb Flip game.
I hate Voltorb Flip with a passion. Voltorb
Flip is the worst. Jesus. It is the worst.
It is the worst. I fucking hate it. Because you can go online now and find like a helper little application, but it's still luck. It doesn't matter. If statistically it's like, oh, there's not supposed to be a Voltorb here. It's still an RNG thing.
All right. So very much aside from Voltorb Flip.
Okay. How did we get on to fucking Voltorb Flip out of that?
You throw the Magikarp salesman out the front door and then immediately there's like a knock, knock, knock. So Tracy's like, God, this fucking guy. And he's ready to like deck him. So he throws the door open and he's like, what do you fucking want? But surprise, surprise, it's Delia and Mimey.
Aww.
The tying of which means that Magikarp salesman and Delia definitely crossed paths with each other.
She should have seen him running out. Like, yeah. She was right there.
She should have known exactly what Tracy was all up in arms about. But she seems very surprised by this reaction. Even though she should know that Tracy is rude and weird. And she has brought cookies for the boys.
That's so very kind of her.
Because Professor Oak is her sugar daddy, and she's come to give him some sugar of her own.
I think Professor Oak, the implication is that he's, like, a hapless old man who can't function without, like, a woman's touch.
I think that's definitely the implication.
Like, okay, I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but there's, like, a part coming up where he's like, I can download this recipe off the internet, which I thought that was, like, the most adorable thing ever. But Delia was like, no, 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 please, God, no, I will cook for you. Don't even think about it.
God, I mean, Gilly doesn't have a job. She has nothing to do all day but garden. Mr. Mime cleans up the house.
Oh, I thought you were about to say she has nothing to do all day other than Mime. And I'm like, please stop.
No. I am not of that theory.
No.
Absolutely not.
Delia and Oak are soulmates.
Butch and Cassidy are in some brilliant disguises. Butch is in a golem suit. And Cassidy's in a really shitty Nidoqueen costume.
Why not?
No, they're not in Why Not costumes. That'd be way funnier.
A Wobba Fett and a Why Not.
Yeah. Totodile sees them, and Totodile knows something's up, so he blasts them with water. So Butch kicks him.
Oh my god.
Unforgivable.
I know. I can't believe the amount of, like, physical animal abuse in this episode.
Then the golem apparently has a satellite dish mechanism that can reflect water guns back to Totodile. That sure. was a weird touch.
Your golem suit doesn't have a satellite dish on it?
Not mine.
Oh.
I only have a Graveler suit.
Oh, darn.
No one wants to trade with me.
Well, we need to get Nikolai and Bill in here. Hmm. Maybe they'll trade with you.
No, they got these costumes from Bill, of course.
Who else would it be from?
Bill's a supplier for everyone.
No, these costumes were shitty. I feel like Bill has, like, a little bit more respect for his, like, craft. And I think this is cheap knockoffs from Nikolai.
Okay.
The Knickerbocker kid. Because, as we know, he's either buying the suits from Etsy or he's just trying to imitate Bill and making his own.
Well, regardless, a random Oddish sees Butch and Cassidy and goes to report to Bulbasaur. For some reason, this Oddish is like a main character this episode. Odd-ish.
Oddish.
Meanwhile, Cassidy steps on Cyndaquil. Oh my god.
This was awful.
They spray him with a fire extinguisher.
My heart broke. Poor Cyndaquil.
Oh, poor Cyndaquil. He's always suffering.
I know.
So Bulbasaur goes and he finds Oak and Delia and he's like knocking on the window with his vine. And Oak is like, I don't have time for Bulbasaur. Go away. I need to find something that rhymes with Tauros. So Delia very hesitantly is like, the professor's busy, Bulbasaur. Sorry. So Bulbasaur is like, you stupid humans.
Can I just point out this one part? And I'm maybe you would have said it in just a second, but I feel like we would be doing a disservice if we didn't call this shit out. Delia, so they're sitting there, right? Delia and Oak. And Delia is like, oh, Samuel, by the way, have you heard from Ash at all lately? And you know what?
Oh, I forgot that entirely.
Oh my god.
It was so good. It was so good.
She's like, oh my god, have you heard from Ash? I haven't heard from him in forever. I hope he's okay. And Oak is like, oh yeah, I just heard from him yesterday.
Oak implies Ash calls him every day.
All the time.
Meanwhile, Delia has not heard from him once
since
he left Kanto.
I clock that shit immediately. I'm like, that little shit, he is specifically not calling Delia. If he can't be bothered, like, he literally is checking in with Oak every day, but he can't be bothered to call his mother.
And, like, we know that's canon because this comes up all the time. Like, all the time.
This is proof positive right here, you guys, that Ash is specifically going out of his way to fuck with Delia and not calling her. Like, he hates her for some reason.
And Delia's like the coolest mom ever.
I know. She doesn't do anything wrong at all. She's such a sweetheart. Because as we all know, like, usually if a child is no contact with the parent, it's usually the parent's fault. But we, for all intents and purposes, everything we've witnessed with Delia is she has done nothing wrong to warrant this kind of behavior. And he goes out of his way to call Oak every day. So it's not an excuse of like, oh, I couldn't call you, I was traveling, or oh, I was busy.
We're not quite at the later seasons where Delia starts to get like actually like pissed off about this.
Yeah, well, she can only take so much.
She's not there yet. Meanwhile, Bulbasaur is tired of Professor Oak's incompetence. So he goes and talks to Noctowl, and then he goes and finds Tracy. And Tracy's also like, go away, Bulbasaur. I don't have time for your bulbafoonery.
Bulbafoonery.
So Bulbasaur drags Tracy by the vines and like is like, come with me now, Tracy. God damn it. But meanwhile, Butch and Cassidy have made it to the building. They sneak in by cutting open a window, which seemed unnecessary to me. But what do I know? They could have just walked into the front door. No one would have noticed.
I know. I don't understand why they didn't like scope it out and be like, okay, let's just go into the unlocked front door because this lab has zero security measures in place.
This got kind of confusing to me because they find like the Pokeball room, which we've seen before. They're like, oh, all the Pallet Town trainers keep all their Pokemon here. So I'm like, okay, first of all, great. So all the Pokemon here are Gary's and Ash's. All of Ash's are outside. And all the other Pokemon are going to be like Rattata and Bellsprouts and shit. Because most people don't do anything after that.
I mean, are we to assume... Okay, I'm sure we've talked about this and I have a vague memory of it. There was another Pallet trainer that like...
There were two.
There were two.
But they didn't get all the badges. They quit.
They quit and went back home. I mean, presumably there's been more since Ash left, considering the fact before. That this is years later, but...
Well, presumably none of those people ever did anything, though, because we've never heard of them. And how many kids can Pallet Town have? You know, it's a small hamlet.
I mean, I'm trying to remember back to the beginning episode. Remember when Ash and Gary were leaving and Gary had his whole fan club and then Ash's little supporters came, like Delia and all her friends and stuff like that? I mean, presumably those people had children. I don't know. I mean, there's got to be like half a dozen or a dozen or so. I mean, who knows?
But I think they're all going to be like a Spearow.
Sure.
A Nidoran.
Sure. Like... They're all going to be like early route Pokemon. They're not going to be evolved, advanced level Pokemon. We never heard of these people before. Like, do they just keep their Pokemon there indefinitely with Oak? Like, where are these people? I have so many questions.
It also confuses me because I know in Showdown at the Poke Corral.
Not this episode.
Which this episode's kind of a sequel to, I would say. Oak specifically says he lets all the Pokemon out of their Pokeballs in the morning and then recalls them at night. So I'm like, so I guess he, like... Okay, this one goes out on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays, and this one goes out on Mondays and every third Wednesday. Maybe they're on rotation?
I would assume there's some kind of a schedule.
Got it. Probably, I'm assuming they're all Gary's, for the record.
They very well could be a lot of his, and then the random Spearow and the random Weedle from whatever other kid.
Okay, so Tracy finally gets to the building, and he tells Professor Oak that, oh my god, we have intruders, and they go and they find all the Pokeballs are missing. So Professor Oak says, it must be Team Rocket. And Tracy says, well, it's not Jesse, James, and Meowth. We know it's not them. This is way too professional of an operation to be them.
Poor Jesse and James. They can't do anything.
Well, on my statement to Tracy, you'd be like, of course it's not Jesse, James, and Meowth. They're with Ash. Where else would they be? Like, you know that.
They're always following. Yeah, they should know by now that they're always somewhere within 50 feet of Ash at any given time.
So we get a little montage because Tracy tells all the Pokemon, including the random Oddish that's like the star of this episode. There's like a relay system. Go tell all the other Pokemon that there's intruders. Oh my god, we gotta find the missing Pokeballs. So all of Ash's Pokemon get little cameos. Heracross, Kingler, Tauros, Snorlax makes a cameo.
Yes, he does.
Meanwhile, Butch and Cassidy are now back in their Golem and Nidoqueen suits and using the very not suspicious muck cart that they are pushing along with a big old R on it, I think.
I know, it's so stupid. Oh my god.
So Nidoking sees this and has the hots for Cassidy Queen.
Good lord.
And I thought for sure, this is Gary's Nidoking, right?
It has to be.
So Gary's Nidoking comes over and, oof, does not take no for an answer.
It's an animal in heat, I suppose.
Because this thing is going to make some Nidorans no matter what. And apparently there's a cut scene here.
Yeah, what happened with that?
Yeah, there's like a cut scene where like she tries to shove it off and it gets mad and it throws her. So, but in the dub, we just like kind of cut to a wide shot and Nidoqueen Cassidy is like flying through the air a mile away.
Yeah, it was sort of abrupt. Like we go from like it sidling up to her and like being all like, hey there, Nidoqueen.
Hey there, mama.
Yeah, hey there, sexy mama. But then it like smash cuts to a different scene with something missing, it feels like, where she's literally flying through the air, like above the treetops.
Like, I get it. It seems like it was a bit much. It sounds like it.
Yeah, to have like a human person being assaulted by an animal, like trying to mate with her, like, ah.
Very Homer and the Pandas.
The what?
There's an infamous episode of The Simpsons, I think that's considered to be the ultimate jump the shark moment, where Homer's in a panda suit. He's at the zoo in the panda enclosure and the male panda comes up.
Oh, God.
And it like cuts away.
Oh, no.
It's bad. It's bad.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Butch and Cassidy are having more problems because Muck sees the muck cart and Muck also wants to breed with the muck cart.
Yeah, seems. So this was Ash's muck, right? It had to be.
Yes, of course. Yeah. I think Muck is just friendly. Obviously, the Nidoking is horny We know Ash is muck. He just likes to glomp onto everyone and everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're right. Like, knowing Muck, I don't necessarily think he was like, ooh, let's boogie or whatever. I think he was just like, a friend.
He wasn't going to spell Muck backwards. Whoa. He was just going to be his mucky, goopy self.
He just wanted to have a hug.
Meanwhile, Noctowl has spied the helicopter, and it's covered in, like, that terrible camouflage covering thing.
It's the
one
same,
that Rico used.
Yeah, the same tarp that Rico. Maybe they have the same, like, wholesaler that they get their camo gear from.
I think Rico and Nikolai and Butch and Cassidy all go to the same store.
They must.
Muck has basically taken care of the situation because he's, like, got Butch and Cassidy pinned down. But then Totodile comes around and fucks it all up.
God damn it, Totodile.
Because he starts intervening and it doesn't go well and they run away. But they run away to the helicopter and surprise, surprise, Tracy is there on one side. And then behind them walks up Delia and Oak. And they have all the Pokemon are also there. So a battle begins and it's kind of funny because Oak is like, which Pokemon should I use? And Bulbasaur volunteers himself.
Okay, this was really strange. Did you think this was strange?
How so?
Dialogue from Oak. He's like, oh, I need to battle, obviously. And I thought that was super cute, just as an aside. Because it's like, oh my god, flashback to like when Oak was a trainer, lol. Anyway, he's like, ooh, what Pokemon should I select for this battle? And then Bulbasaur jumps in, and it's like, Bulbasaur. And he's like, oh my god, of course. Why didn't I think of that? You are my oldest companion, after all.
What? That was weird.
Wait, I'm like, isn't this Ash's Bulbasaur?
Maybe Oak was thinking back on his days as a young trainer when he had a Bulbasaur, Squirtle, and Charmander. I don't know.
I thought it was just really strange.
Even though we know his starter was Charmander, we know that.
Yeah, so I was like, but this isn't your oldest companion, Oak. This is Ash's Bulbasaur that literally just came back to hang out. Like, what are you talking about?
If anything, it should have been like, oh, Bulbasaur, well, we all know you're the leader here. You're in charge of this place, so obviously you want to defend it.
Why couldn't he have said something to your point of, like, remembering back to his trainer days and be like, oh, Bulbasaur, that reminds me of when I was a youth.
Maybe that's what it was, and the dub just fucked it up.
I mean, I have to assume that, because it didn't make any sense.
Nope. But what's way more exciting than Bulbasaur and Oak is Tracy sends out Old Man Scyther.
Oh my god, surprise cameo. I love it.
Old Man Scyther's still alive. Can you believe it?
And he's still old.
He's still old. He's still sweating. He's still panting. But he can do something for a short period of time. And even more exciting than that, somehow, Delia, without a moment's hesitation, steps up. And she and Mimy are going to battle too.
This was my favorite part of the whole episode. I love it. Delia is like, stand back, boys. I have this.
So it's kind of funny because the three of them team up on Butch and Cassidy, who are using their Houndour and Hitmontop. And basically, they kick their asses. The only one breaking a sweat is Scyther, because Scyther can't breathe without breaking a sweat.
Poor thing.
And they all basically take turns beating the shit out of Houndour and Hitmontop. But then Totodile steps up and is like, can I be the one to blast them off? Because these people have been fucking me up all day. And they all let him do it. So he's the one who blasts them off. As opposed to, you know, calling the cops or whatever. But we're never going to do that.
They didn't call the cops once.
No. They know better. They know Officer Jenny's not going to do anything.
No. Yeah.
So life is back to normal. And we all gather around inside for Oak to reveal his love poem.
What?
Alex, would you like to cover
okay,
this?
As much as I would have adored a love poem, and I was very much looking forward to this, I have to say, and I just have to play devil's advocate, this was not a love poem.
Did you write it down?
Well, yes, but the only lines that we hear before the narrator jumps in is Oak starting out and he says, strength and power like a Tauros, songs of joy sung by a chorus. And then and then the narrator jumps in and I'm like, no, I wanted to hear more of it. God damn it. But then we get the part where this makes the whole episode worth it for these last 3 seconds, where the narrator is like, Delia thought for sure that it was a love poem for her, but so did Bulbasaur. The end.
Cut to Bulbasaur smiling happily to himself.
What the fuck? Okay, first of all,
poor kids, you're so wacky.
They are so wacky. I love them for that. But I will say, one, Bulbasaur wasn't even inside when Oak was reading the supposed love poem. He was outside just doing his own thing. Secondly, I'm not sure why Delia thought this from the two lines that we got. However, I'm not saying it could have turned into something spicier, but we just didn't hear it. But the fact that Delia thought it was a love poem to her, just, that really tickled me.
The dub ships Oak and Delia. We know this.
Of course. Who doesn't ship Oak and Delia?
Remember in Pokemon Live when Ash was, like, giving them shit for their, like, staying up all night?
Yes.
Or whatever. Yeah, great.
Okay,
great.
You know what other thing I loved about this was the fact that at one point, I mean, obviously this is her name or whatever, but, like, Tracy calls her Mrs. Ketchum. But then I'm like, okay, so Ash's dad isn't dead. We know he's not dead.
No, he's not dead.
We know that they're not divorced.
I mean, they're effectively divorced. They're separated.
They're definitely separated. But, I mean, Delia is spending all her time at Oaks. They're definitely a thing. And the fact that Four Kids is shipping them, like, Delia's in love with Oak and thinks that his poems are for her, like...
Did you notice what the narrator did?
What?
He called her Miss Ketchum.
He did?
He totally did.
Oh my god, I missed that part. Oak and Delia forever.
Are they together now? Have they gotten together? Like, I know in literal sense they're not actually fucking, but in our worldview, are they fucking now?
I mean, they are fictional characters, so regardless of what we think or not, they're not really together.
Of course.
I think they're together. I ship them for sure, 100%. They're always together.
Okay, okay.
I swear to God, if the Pokemon anime ever ends, which it won't.
It did.
Well, I meant, like, in general, like, forever. Like, they need to do a flashback to, like, Oak and Delia and Ash's storyline. Like, forget Liko and Roy and all the new people. We need to have, like, a finality episode where it's, like, Oak and Delia's wedding or something. Don't roll your eyes at me.
It's not gonna happen.
Of course not.
Anyway, okay, the episode's over. Flipping the coin. You're going first.
You know what? My MVP is going to be Delia and Mimi for being badasses.
They were cool.
They were cool. Delia did the best battling-wise, I think. And she does make a comment to the effect of, like, she's like, as Ash will tell you, battling runs in the Ketchum family or whatever.
Where's your husband?
Yeah, where's your husband?
What's he doing?
Who cares about her husband? She has Oak.
Okay.
Anyway, I thought it was really cool. I'm glad that they just didn't have her standing there as, like, a passive bystander. Like, oh my gosh, the battle's happening. Like, she gets in there with Mimi and has him do some pretty cool stuff. Like, light screen and double slap and shit. So, good job, Delia.
And Mimi.
And Mimi. And
Mimi. He's also MVP.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, Mimi. I forgot about you for 1 second. My LVP is going to be... I have a couple different answers. You know what? My LVP is going to be Professor Oak.
Of course.
Professor Oak for A, not having any sort of security system on his laboratory where he has valuable assets being stored. Not only, like, equipment, expensive equipment, but also people's Pokemon, for God's sake. And just also pretending like Bulbasaur was his Pokemon for some reason. Very strange. Not knowing how to cook his own dinner also. His weaponized incompetence is not working on me. So, sorry, Oak, you get LVP. My quote is going to be, I guess, I don't really have a lot of good ones, but I guess I'll just use this one from Butch and Cassidy. Butch says, when they break into the lab, he's like, hey, you know, we are really good at this. Cassidy says, we're so much better than those two bumbling morons, Jesse and James. And then Butch chimes in, messy and lames.
That was a messy and lame line.
That was a messy and lame line.
My quote's also going to be them. And specifically after Cassidy steps on Cyndaquil and they fire extinguish him. It was so good. Cassidy says, that'll teach it to go around getting stepped on.
Poor Cyndaquil.
The long-suffering Cyndaquil.
Wow.
I have several LVPs, actually.
Go for it.
My honorary list. One of them's Cyndaquil for getting stepped on.
Oh, victim blaming.
One of them's Totodile for fucking up Muk, you know, capturing them effectively.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Tracy, because Tracy says... I've heard of you guys. And he says he's heard of Butch and Cassidy. Tracy has met Butch and Cassidy.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. What the heck?
Okay, this is evidence. I think Oak and Tracy are lighting up before this episode starts.
Probably.
Because that's why Oak is so obsessed with his love poem. That's why Tracy's being so weird. That's why, like, Bulbasaur's coming to the window going, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, fuck off, Bulbasaur. We don't have time for you.
Because they're blazing up inside of the lab.
Yep. Because my backup quote was when Delia comes with cookies. I brought you some cookies, but maybe I should come back another time. And Tracy says, Now's a big time. I mean, a great time.
Oh my God. I completely missed that. Oh my God. You're so right. Can that be my headcanon? I love that.
I think that explains a few things about this episode.
That is amazing.
Also, Oak's insane Bulbasaur thing he had going on.
We couldn't remember.
My greatest friend.
I subscribe to this. I want to pretend that Oak and Tracy regularly get blazed up. That's why they're not, like, doing anything except for sitting around, like, writing haikus and shit. And is that why Tracy is experimenting with, like, adding shit to the Pokemon food?
Of course,
food?
He has the munchies.
He's got the munchies, and he's trying to, like, spike their food with shit. I don't know.
That's also why the Oddish is so prominent, because it's their dealer.
It's the weed.
Of course.
Pikachu noticed the weed.
Another LVP I have, tell me if you noticed this, who was Ash's one and only Pokemon not to be in this episode?
Oh my God. Charizard? Well, Charizard's
Pokemon at the lab.
Oh my God. Give me a hint.
Someone we don't know very well.
Someone we don't know very well?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. We saw Kingler, we saw Heracross, we saw Muk, we saw Tauros, we saw Snorlax, Bayleaf, Bulbasaur, Cyndaquil, Totodile, Noctowl. Who am I forgetting?
So who's not there that should be?
Is it a Johto Pokemon?
Yes.
Oh my God, I am such a bad fan.
You're missing one.
Stop. Oh my God, I have to remember this. Okay, his Johto team was Pikachu, Heracross, Bayleaf, Cyndaquil, Totodile, Noctowl. Oh my God, give me a hint. This is crazy. Why can I not think of this?
Give up.
Ah!
Heracross was not on Ash's team all the way through. He was only on it for a little while.
Sure.
So who was the sixth slot after Bulbasaur left?
Oh my God, after Bulbasaur left?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I cannot think of it. I give up.
Win.
I give up.
Phanpy!
Phanpy! Oh my God, poor Phanpy. I forgot about Phanpy.
So did the people who made this episode, because he doesn't show up at all.
Oh no, I can't believe I forgot Phanpy too.
I can't blame you.
I'm so sorry.
He's forgotten.
Oh my God, that's so sad. Maybe he was, like, hanging out with Snorlax. Maybe he was, like, behind Snorlax or something.
I think he was in one of the Pokeballs that got stolen.
Do you think? Why would he be out with all the rest then? Why is Oak punishing
him? I don't know. Where was he?
Is he dead?
Possibly.
Would Oak even tell Ash?
Phanpy is going to get his moment.
Okay.
And it's sooner than you might think.
Okay.
But it's not now.
Gosh, I am so sorry, you guys. I feel like such a bad Pokemon person.
I'm taking this as a personal insult to Dawnfan, by the way.
I know, Austin, I got a strike for you. That. I can't believe... Well, he's not a Dawn fan yet, first
no,
of all.
No, Dawn fan's way better than Phanpy. Sorry, Phanpy.
Phanpy. Okay, I'm just going to pretend that Phanpy was snoozing with Snorlax and we just didn't see him.
Okay, that's a cute visual.
He's just cuddled up with Snorlax.
He was with all the other Tauros that didn't appear in the episode. Anyway, but I think my real LVP after all this buildup is going to be Butch for stepping... Biff. Or rather, for kicking Totodile on purpose.
Biff. He's such a jerk.
Yeah. Botch. Bitch. Sorry. And my MVP, I guess I'll give it to Old Man Scyther for being alive.
I know. I'm so glad we got to see him.
He always gets the MVP just in case. Aww. You never know when he might drop dead.
Oak says something to the effect of, like, it may be old, but it still does a good job or whatever the hell he said.
All right. Let's do the next one. Let's do the real episode now.
Well, I appreciated it. I'm glad we got to see some of our side characters, and who doesn't love a good Delia and Oak episode? I know I do.
It is nice to get away from Ash and see the world at large a little bit, to check in on the Kanto people.
Yeah.
It is making it feel like this quest of Rustboro City is taking forever and a day.
Because it is.
Because it's twice as long as it would be otherwise, because they're watching these episodes along with it.
Maybe they'll get out of the woods soon.
We'll see. I honestly don't remember when they get out of the woods. We'll find out.
Oh my God, if you can't remember, then we're fucked. We're here for a long time.
I don't remember these episodes very well.
All right, well, we'll just have to bear with it and see what happens. Anyway. All right, are we ready to jump into the next episode?
A Tale with a Twist. I'll give you the summary.
Give me the summary, please, in 3, 2, 1, go.
This is kind of the Treecko Redemption episode, because Treecko tries to save Torchic from a wild Sabiper. And he gets hurt in the process. So the Twirpsle take him to a Pokemon Center. Meanwhile, Team Rocket wants to catch that Sviper, and it's kicking their ass because the Sviper is super cool and super funny and super cute. But when it bites off Jesse's hair, all bets are off, and Jesse manhandles it and catches it. And then later, Treecko gets redemption because he's able to beat the Sviper after some waterfall training. But Sviper is so cute, and I love it.
Seviper is so cute. I completely forgot about Scyther and its cute little... Scyther. I completely forgot about Seviper and its cute little mannerisms. It goes... Burr, 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 like a snake does, of course.
It is so cute.
I know. I adore it. I'm so sorry, Arbok. Like, I liked Arbok.
Fuck Arbok.
But I forgot how cute Seviper was.
Arbok slithered so Seviper could run.
Right?
I know I've said this before. Arbok and Weezy needed to go. They were boring. Seviper and, to a lesser extent, Cacnea are where it's fucking at. They are so great.
See, I don't disparage Arbok and Weezing for that. I mean, they can only do what the writers tell them to do and write them to be like. So I am glad that they're stepping up the personalities already for the new Hoenn Pokemon. But before we jump into that, let's back up a little bit. We are still in the woods, and we once again stopped for lunch, and thank God Brock is here, because they're all cheering for the fact that Brock has made his famous mystery soup, whatever it is.
The yellow stew.
With some questionable brown chunks floating in it. Really don't
I think it's, know. It's like potatoes and carrots, and sure. There's some sort of green thing in there somewhere.
Sure. Anyway, thank God he's here, because without Brock, they would surely starve to death. So they stop for lunch. The rest of the Pokemon come on out to eat, and I think this is the first time that the group at large has been able to meet Treecko. So they're like, meet Treecko, everyone. Hi, new friend. Treecko is understandably standoffish, and he's like, fuck all this. I'm gonna go and sit in this tree over here. So he climbs up out of the group, and he's kind of sitting on his own.
I have two things to note. First of all, the twerp lineup of Pokemon is so weird at this point.
It's very minimal.
It's an odd bunch. It's very small. It's very weird. I think Fortress makes it weird, because, like, what the fuck is he doing there?
Yeah.
Also, I noticed when Treecko got up into the tree branch, he picked himself a new little twig toothpick. So my question is, does he get new toothpicks all the time?
I mean, I would assume so, because after being in its mouth for an extended period of time, wouldn't it get all, like, soggy on the end and, like...
I guess so. I think he's going through new ones all the time.
Yeah.
That threw me for a loop, because I thought it was the same one, but I guess I was wrong.
I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to keep the same old toothpick in my mouth over and over again. You need a fresh one.
You're also not a lizard.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure we'll forget, but maybe we can see how often he switches out his leaf pick. Anyway, so as they're eating and kind of just lazing around, a Seviper is watching very predatorily from the bushes, and it's keeping a very close eye on Torchic, who is scurrying around with some apples and grapes in its mouth. May needs to rein in this Torchic and be like, stop playing with your food. You're going to choke, first of all, if you just run around with food in your mouth. Max does comment on it. He's like, your Torchic's kind of like out of control and takes after its trainer. You better like do something about that. But she doesn't give a crap.
She just thinks it's cute. It's an accessory.
Yeah. She's like excusing its bad behavior because she thinks it's cute.
I know some parents like that. Anyway.
Anyway. Yeah. not that uncommon. It looks like it's about to go after and eat Torchic, but apparently it's an herbivore because it seems like it's more interested in the fruit than it is with Torchic.
That was such a bait and switch.
I know. It looks like it's about to eat it for lunch, but it's like, nope. With those big old fangs.
Seviper was scary in this scene.
It was scary, and that was part of the brilliance of this scene, because you think, oh, it's a snake, and it's going after a little bird, but it has zero interest in Torchic at all. It's like, give me that apple.
It's still scary as fuck, because it's a big old snake with big old fangs that are blood red.
I don't know if you've, like, well, this is, like, later in the wide shots or whenever, when Team Rocket is confronting Seviper. Seviper is huge. It's bigger than a human being.
Yeah, it's enormous.
It's giant.
If you were to stretch it out, it'd be so long. It'd be like anaconda size. Like, it's huge.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not like a man-eater, because it can literally swallow you in one bite. It's bigger than James and Jesse, taller than them. So Treecko sees this scene unfolding and tries to intervene. And of course, the ruckus grabs the attention of the twerps. So they run over. They're like, what's happening here?
This is the Treecko I remembered. The heroic Treecko, the badass come to, you know, protect poor innocent little Torchic from the big scary snake.
This is such a 180 from his personality, where we just saw him beating up on his elders in the forest.
It doesn't redeem it, but this is the Treecko I remember.
This is true. So Trico's the only one to spring into action and try to do anything to save the life of this apple that it's trying to eat. But it's unfortunately hit by a poison tail and gets knocked into a tree and is very severely injured. So Brock is like, oh my god, I think there's a Pokemon Center down the road. We should take it there. So Viper leaves and they run off to the Pokemon Center. Team Rocket, of course, is spying as they usually do, and Jessie has to have it. She's like, this thing is a powerhouse. We definitely need Seviper on our team in order to catch Pikachu, because if this wild Pokemon can take out a bunch of the Torp Pokemon without any direction at all, we need it. Fair point. I mean, if it's directionless and doesn't have a trainer and it's still that strong beating trained Pokemon, then damn.
Also, she has a snake-sized hole in her life.
Yeah, and she's missing Arbok, and she needs an offensive Pokemon, so she's like, gotta have that Seviper. So they devise a plan. Since they notice that it loves fruit and not flesh, they're like, okay, let's lure it with a nice fruit basket. So they try one of their classic Team Rocket pitfall trap maneuvers with a little fruit basket on the other side, but this Seviper is cunning and crafty, and it does not fall for this obvious scam. So it reaches its tail over the trap, grabs the fruit, and brings it with it.
And it's happily like...
It's so cute! As it like leaves. I know, it's like...
Oh, you do such a good Seviper.
It only does that for a little bit. Maybe it does it later on too, but it's like... And then it leaves. So adorable. So later, they're like, okay, that didn't work. We need a different idea. So they stop for lunch, and they have their jelly donuts, as they do. Do they call them rice balls? I think they do.
They called them rice balls several times. I was very proud of them for knowing what they were eating.
I know. I was going to say something about that.
They said rice ball like 6 or 7 times, and I was like, yeah!
I guess they dropped that jelly donut shit.
It'll be back when we digitally alter the rice balls into other things.
But this particular moment, they were just straight up. They were like, yeah, we're having rice balls. They're getting into the tiff over the last rice ball. So Jesse's like saving one. They lose one that they had into the water. They drop it. But Jesse was keeping one somewhere. Who knows where. Pulls it out. But wouldn't you know it, Seviper shows up and steals it right before she can put it into her mouth. And she's very angry about this. Because that was her rice ball, goddammit.
I'm loving the, like, Roadrunner Coyote dynamics we have going between Team Rocket and Seviper in these scenes.
So do I.
It's good.
It's pretty seamless, and it's really cleverly done.
This is a good episode. I love this episode.
It was a good episode. So Jessie is infuriated. She's like, how dare you steal from me? So she calls out Wobbuffet, who just stands there, because what else can it do? Meowth reminds her and James, they're like, well, you do know that Wobbuffet can't do anything without being attacked first. And this Seviper is really smart. It doesn't even make a move to, like, attack them. It's like, all right.
Seviper knows what's up.
I know. It's so smart. Has it seen a Wobbuffet before? Like, how would it even know that?
Maybe it's just, like, trying to, like, be careful and assessing, and that's just working really well to its advantage. I don't know.
Team Rocket is just that incompetent, I suppose. Meowth reminds Jessie of this, and she's like, okay, in that case, wise guy, you go. And she grabs Meowth by the neck and throws him as hard as she can towards Seviper. And she's like, use double edge. Meowth is like, I can't do that. Oh my god. Jessie has yet another rice ball that she was hiding somewhere that, like, falls out of her clothing. I don't know.
Interesting questions. Okay.
Question mark, question mark, question mark. She goes to dive for it because she's like, I am not losing my last rice ball to this thief. But in a comedy of errors, she ends up slipping, falling, and her hair goes right into Seviper's mouth, who rips it straight off her head. She goes completely postal, more than we've ever seen her get angry before, I think. Has she ever had a moment like this?
I think when the Scythers cut off her hair, she had a similar reaction.
Okay.
This is great.
This was beyond Jessie. She then starts losing it. She goes straight for Seviper and starts beating the living shit out of it physically with her hands. Her bare hands. Beating it up, kicking it, all this stuff. She very nearly kills it. But Meowth is like, wait, you gotta catch it. It's not gonna be worth anything if it's dead. So she's like, oh yeah. So after she beats it within an inch of its life, she manages to throw the Pokeball, which good for them for carrying around empty Pokeballs.
I love the reversal of Seviper was like on it this whole episode. And like, it was a total trickster and knew what was going on. But when Jessie got mad, it was afraid for its life and rightfully so.
So Viper's so imposing. When would it ever have encountered somebody who would beat it up with its bare hands? So she manages to catch it. It's not even two shakes and I think it gets caught. It's very quick. And so now they have this powerhouse on their team and they're like, with this in our possession on Team Rocket, surely we will be able to win against the Twerps because Seviper did such a good job against them without direction. So now that we have it, surely we'll be able to steal Pikachu. Back to the Pokemon Center, Ash is watching Trico's recovery, which is seemingly going well until Chansey runs out in a panic and frantically reports that Trico has snuck out of its room. It has escaped. And they're like, oh no, we have to follow it. Trico is apparently very upset at itself for losing the battle and needs to start training because it needs to get better and not lose again. So it's found a nearby waterfall and it's jumping off the waterfall, launching itself at a rock below and trying to break the rock, presumably. Eventually, as they're all watching from the bushes, Trico comes up with a plan to start twisting around in midair and kind of adding more torque, velocity, I don't know, to its spin, being able to smash the rock at the bottom. So finally it does. It breaks the rock. Hooray. Trico has trained itself.
That's convenient.
I know. Very convenient. Ash is just sitting there watching it. I'm like, aren't you supposed to be like giving it direction here? Whatever. So they run out to congratulate Trico on its accomplishment, but are interrupted by Team Rocket.
Sorry, I'm not chiming in because these people are doing their clogging.
I can hear that from here, and I was like, is Trico breaking rocks in your apartment?
Why are you pacing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth? Fuck off.
Oh my god.
I'm so tired.
They are going crazy up there. Anyway, Team Rocket interrupts and steals Pikachu in their little Pikachu napping box that they have. I noticed this. I don't know if you noticed this in one shot. Jessie's hair was still missing, but then in the very next shot, it's magically regrown.
Yep.
And her hair is back to normal.
I noticed it when she caught Seviper.
Mm-hmm.
Her hair regrew as she picked up the Pokeball.
It did? Oh my god.
We didn't like see it, but like it just magically was back.
Yep.
I think it was back for the rest of the episode, if I'm not mistaken.
She needs to give me her hair care routine because I've been waiting on my hair to regrow after I got it cut and it's been like 2 years.
You can't regrow 5 feet of hair in 1 second?
Sadly not.
I love that they forgot. Or think it didn't care.
I don't think they care, but honestly, I kind of like it as a gag better that her hair is just like back to normal. Poor Seviper, however, is attempting to redeem itself, but it falls victim to the Team Rocket curse. Now that it's on their team, all of its previous battling prowess and cunning have gone. Trico manages to beat the crap out of Seviper, and this was kind of like fucked up. I felt really bad for Seviper because Trico uses its new, I don't even know what you would call it, tail attack? Spinning tail attack? I have no idea. And it smashes Seviper right in the head, like its skull. I'm like, Seviper's dead. I think that would have killed any normal creature.
But they're not normal creatures. But they're magical creatures.
They are, thank God, because Seviper would have been absolutely killed. And they blast off again. Hooray. And that is the end of that. So now we have a brand new Team Rocket Pokemon who is now cursed for all eternity to be a loser.
Thank God.
Thank God.
We have reached equilibrium.
I feel bad for Seviper. Poor thing. I mean, it really was truly a menacing Pokemon at the beginning. And now it won't be able to accomplish anything.
Of course not. But I love Seviper. I'm glad it's here. It's going to stay here for quite some time.
How long? I do remember it stuck around for quite a while.
I think after Pikachu, Meowth, and Wobbuffet, it sticks around longer than any other Pokemon. Someone correct me if I'm wrong.
Dang.
But I think that might be true.
Well, that's interesting. I was actually kind of surprised that they had such a quick turnaround with... I mean, I guess they couldn't really go that much longer without Jessie having an offensive Pokemon, but like, I wasn't expecting it to happen so soon. So now we have Cacnea and Seviper.
This is definitely the everyone gets the Pokemon they need for the story to progress story arc area. Yeah. We're just catching them right and left.
I mean, you can't, like we said, you can't have a show about battling and adventuring without them catching Pokemon. It's too boring in the interim. Like, them having, like, one or two Pokemon each is like, nah, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, we need to get catching some stuff.
I know, May...
Let's fill out the ranks.
Right? May needs to get off her butt and start catching stuff. Brock needs to have more than Fortress. Ash is doing pretty good. He's got Talo and Trico already, so okay. And Pikachu. So we got half of the team right there. We'll see how it continues. All right. MVP, LVP, and quote time.
I'm going first. Good, because that means I get to claim Survivor as my
MVP. Oh, damn.
No explanation needed for that one. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. My LVP will be... Should I give the Torchic or to May?
I don't know. I can't decide. I'd say May, because she's the trainer, but...
Yeah, she didn't do anything. Torchic's going to kill itself, and she's not doing anything about it. So I'm going to give it to May. Sorry, May. Okay, my quote is going to be at the beginning. May says, "It looks like Trico might be feeling a little weird around all of our other Pokemon." And Max says really quick, "Because they're all staring."
I missed that. Oh my god, he said that?
It was so quick.
Max is so funny. Like, I think he's... I wasn't expecting to like Max because I thought, oh my god, he's going to be like the annoying little tag-along that's not going to contribute anything. But he's actually got some good zingers.
Max keeps it real.
He does keep it real. Thank god. Okay, I am going to give my MVP to Jessie.
Yes.
For being a badass bitch. Holy shit. I've never seen such a display. The fact that she was like absolutely going bonker balls over her rice ball and then beating the shit out of Seviper with her bare hand. Guys, remember, this is a man-eating anaconda size Pokemon with saber fangs longer than your forearm. And she doesn't give a crap. She just throws herself in there and she starts beating the crap out of it, kicking it, all this stuff. Not saying animal abuse or anything is funny, but...
No, it was.
The fact that she went in there...
It was funny.
She was like, how very dare you? I am going to beat you down for this transgression.
Jessie's the only person in all of fiction who could pull this off.
I know, really. Truly.
Can you think of any other character that can do this?
No.
And have it be like really charming and funny?
It was unlike anything. And the fact that she was like, she absolutely lost it and managed to catch Seviper at the end. My LVP is going to be, I guess, Ash? Surprise, surprise. The default.
All right, he's already going to get LVP for Hoenn. We already know that.
Overall LVP. Yeah, exactly. What did he have, like 29 in Johto or some crap that I
gave him? It was insane.
Well, he gets it again for this episode because Trico is grievously injured. He doesn't really like do anything but stand there with his mouth hanging open. Then Trico runs off, tries to train by itself. Ash just stands there instead of tutoring it, going out there, trying to help it, whatever. He just stands there and lets Trico over and over again try to smash a rock. And then it's just like, oh, awesome, you trained yourself. Well, guess I don't have to do any of the hard work. I don't know. I feel like he could have done more as a trainer with experience. My quote, I have two. I don't know which one to pick.
I don't know what they could be. I can't even think.
Okay, this one I like a little bit better. So this is after they devised the plan to lure Seviper with the fruit basket. And Seviper tricks them and does not fall for the trap. Jessie screams out. She's like, that fruit basket wasn't meant as a gift. James says, it was expensive. Fruit doesn't grow on trees, you know.
I missed that entirely. That was really good.
Really? How could you miss it?
I completely missed that. That's great.
The other one I had, just an honorary quote, is when they're spying on the twerps. Jessie has her little binoculars and she says, I've just spotted something that'll make our day. Meowth says, a taco stand with a jacuzzi out back? James says, I think she's talking about that Seviper and its amazing fighting abilities. So we'll catch that first and then hit the jacuzzi. Jessie says, there is no jacuzzi.
I love this episode.
I know. They're so stupid. I love them.
God. Team Rocket. They've had a lot of Team Rocket episodes lately. They've been really good.
Seviper fits in so well with them already. All right. Any final thoughts, Austin?
Nope. I think we've said enough.
Oh my gosh. Well, that was great. We love these episodes. I think we haven't had a pair of episodes, like both of them, that we both were like, yeah, those were fun, in a while.
Hoenn's bringing the energy. I'm enjoying it.
Hoenn is great. This is why it's so good. The Gen 3 games, we all know how I feel about those. And then the anime has been delivering so far. Also, I think anything would feel really good coming out of like annual festival hell.
I'm so sorry for the Magikarp salesman. They ended all the annual festivals and now he has nowhere to go.
Maybe he needs to focus on other skills and go back to school or do something else. Who knows?
Go back on the cruise ships he was on when we first met him.
Yeah. Maybe he could be an assistant at the Oak Lab. God knows Oak needs some help.
He can get that Magikarp that's, like, hooked all the wires into its body.
Oh, my God, that horrible...
Like, Cybercarp or whatever it was.
Where was that from? Remind me again.
I think it was Orange Islands era.
Yeah, the Cybercarp where they were torturing that poor Magikarp. All right, Austin, what is next week?
Next week is just regular episodes, no chronicles.
No chronicles.
First, we're going to get kind of Shakespearean with Taming of the Shroomish.
Oh, okay.
Which is an episode I do not remember. I don't remember this happening at all.
No, me either.
The second one I vaguely remember. It's called You Said a Mouthful.
What?
It's a Pelipper episode.
Oh, okay. That's odd. All okay. Right.
Well, that's it.
But yeah, in the meantime, thanks guys for joining us this week. We always love to hear from you. We appreciate the comments. Keep those coming. You can always get in touch with us at our Gmail account, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. You can also follow us over on Blue Sky. Give us a follow over there, handle @outofthedryingpan. Or over on Instagram, @outofthedryingpan also. And we also have a Patreon. If you like what we do and would love to support us, we would appreciate that very much. We got all kinds of cool bonus content, extra fun stuff that you can check out. So hop over there. We'd really appreciate it. And of course, as always, we want to say thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week as the journey continues.